Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who renews us with his forgiving love, dear fellow redeemed, the Passion place that we are visiting this morning is a place that we visited several weeks ago in our second midweek Lenten service, the courtyard. The event, Peter's denial. It's a moment of self-revelation for Peter. Peter sees who he really is in his denial. A weak, lost sinner. But by God's grace, Jesus also shows him who he really is, Peter's Savior. This morning we'll be meditating on both of those pictures, Peter's denial and Peter's Savior. And by looking at them, we'll grow in our trust of the Lord as we see that when we go through these revelations of ourselves and times of denial, Jesus turns them into a place of renewal through his love. Throughout this lesson, we see Peter's life totally unraveling. It's kind of like when you see a crack in the foundation of a wall, and the crack becomes larger and larger, and finally the whole wall collapses, and the building is ruined. In the late 80s, when Ruth and I lived in Saginaw, there was a rainstorm that rained all night long, and Saginaw received 13 inches of rain overnight. Most every single basement in Saginaw Township was filled with water. When I got up that morning, I walked downstairs, had water up to my waist. A lot of things were destroyed. But there's one house that had even worse. Crack had formed in the basement wall. Water came rushing to the crack, became bigger and bigger, and the whole corner of the wall just collapsed, and that man's whole side of his house just crumpled down. A crack turned into a collapse. That's what we see happening to Peter. It's first the slave girl, the servant girl, that showed the crack. She says to him, "This man was also with him." She puts him together with Jesus. But Peter says, "Woman, I do not know him." And a crack starts in his foundation. He denies even knowing his Lord. When our relationship with Jesus is broken, it doesn't take very long before everything collapses. Well, then we move to Peter's relationship with his disciples. Another person says, "You are also of them." In other words, you are one of those disciples. And Peter says, man, I am not. So not only did Peter deny knowing his Savior, he says, I don't know those guys. I'm not one of those disciples either. And the crack grows bigger. And the other person gives you a bigger picture. This person says, surely this fellow also was with him, with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. So we move from Peter being with Jesus, Peter being one of the disciples, to now Peter being in Jesus' ministry throughout Galilee. And Peter replies, man, I do not know what you are saying. As we said, when your relationship with Jesus is broken, it doesn't take very long before everything collapses. Peter is now left with some serious self-evaluation and self-revelation. The rooster crows for the second time. Jesus, as he's being taken from one trial to another, passes by and looks down, and Peter sees him in his face, remembers his words. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. Peter had boldly said, vehemently, I will never deny you, Lord. Even if all the rest do, I'll be ready to go to prison, even to death, for you. And he ends up denying him three times. Denying even knows this man. It's indeed a painful spiritual self-revelation that Peter's undergoing. By our own might, we cannot follow Jesus. As you know, it's not our salvation is not dependent upon what we do. It never has been. It never will be. But if our relationship with Jesus is based upon our efforts, our work, then we'll be led into a place of denial too. That's what really makes a denial. It's not really the drama of a friend of ours asking us about Jesus and our relationship with Jesus. It's our relationship with Jesus. If our relationship with Jesus, we think, is based upon how strong my faith is or how much work I have to do for the Lord, then a crack shows up in our foundation too. And we're in grave danger of entering a place of denial. Now, our place of denial may not be as dramatic as Peter's was, but there are still places of denial. And surprisingly, some of those places can be right here in church. It can be a place of honor in the church. I'm a founding father. I've been a member of the church the longest. Place maybe of even church leadership or of our frequent and fervent devotion. Satan can use all these things, our longtime membership of the church, our leadership within the church, our studying his word, praying, to lead us to think that our salvation and our relying upon our being with Christ relies upon what we do. Look at Peter in the garden. He boldly struck out with the sword. Then he fled for fear of his life. Then in fear, he denied even knowing Jesus. We too may become a bit bolder in our witness. We may talk about our Savior at work. Maybe even also be disgusted at this world's sinful lifestyle. We may talk up at business meetings and talk with members. After all, I've been here a long time, so they should listen to what I have to say. And we don't even realize that instead of our faith growing stronger and stronger, the crack is growing bigger and bigger because we're relying upon what we're doing for Jesus and how we're working for the Lord, depending upon ourselves. There are many kinds of denials in this world. We can deny Jesus by saying, we don't even know the man, emphatically, loudly, in a courtyard. We may deny Jesus when we're with a group of people and Jesus' name is being blasphemed and taken in a sinful way and we just quietly don't say anything. Or we can deny Jesus when we emphatically, loudly proclaim him, but somewhat self-righteously, forgetting that it's not our work for him, but his work for us that matters. We look like a Christian, we act like a Christian, we also do things Christians do, but there's a crack in our foundation because we're relying upon our own faith, our own achievements, our own goals. And if we don't turn to Jesus in weakness and trembling and repentance, that crack only grows bigger and bigger. Thankfully, the Lord leads us, like Peter, to see who we really are. Weak, frail human beings. We cannot follow Jesus into prison or to death on our own, by ourselves. We're led to see that we are sinners. We have no spiritual health within us. We cannot set ourselves free. And thankfully, that's where we see the second picture. We see not Peter's denial, but Peter's Savior. In the midst of our sins, in the midst of our denials, the Lord still remains constant. He still is the one and only one who can forgive us of our sins. Our salvation is not dependent upon what we do or what we say. It's totally dependent upon what he has done and what he says. Our forgiveness is not dependent upon what we do or what we say. Our forgiveness is totally dependent upon what he has done and what he says to us. In the face of Peter's denial as a disciple, Jesus didn't deny Peter. He continues to be his Savior. He continues to be his Lord. Now, Peter goes out and with bitter tears of repentance, Jesus goes out to the cross to shed his body and blood to forgive his weeping disciple. It's his work, his grace, his mercy, his love that takes away all of our sins. As we said earlier, Jesus knew Peter far better than Peter knew himself. And Jesus knows you and me far better than we know ourselves. He sees our sins. He sees our denials. And yet he still goes to the cross. We're not saved by giving our lives up for Jesus. We're saved by Jesus giving up his life for us. When Peter is caught in the act of denial, we see Jesus showing his act of forgiving love. So many times, Jesus comes to us in some of the most embarrassing and awkward moments of our life. He doesn't wait until our confirmation day. We've got it all figured out. We've conquered our sins, overcome our temptations, achieved our goal. He comes to us when we're struggling, when we're confessing our weakness, confessing our denials of him, confessing our sins. And he tells us what we just heard earlier in our reading, that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus and his word is the one and only firm foundation for our faith life. And unlike us and every single believer in this world, when Jesus comes to us, his love never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday. Jesus is the same today. He's going to be the same throughout every one of our tomorrows. In our life, time passes and we change. We change from young to old, change from our home to work, church recreation, from a garden to a courtyard. And yet wherever we go, the Lord is always the same, always there to forgive us of our sins, always there to be there to say, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. His love never changes. And even in the very end of our life, when we die and we're buried, when we are resurrected, we will find that Jesus is still the same. He's the one who went to the cross to suffer and die, to pay for our sins, and rose again to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life. In those times when we are faced with some painful spiritual revelations of our own sins, of our own denials, may we do what Peter did. Look to Jesus. Look to our Savior. For nothing can remove us from our Savior's powerful, loving arms. He died for us. Trust in Him. Live in His Word. Pray in His name. And be confident to know that He will never, ever deny us. Peter, by inspiration, was led to write to the Christian churches in his day. But his words still apply to us today. This portion especially. Peter writes, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special, unique, peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In the certainty of our salvation through Jesus Christ, may we go forth as God's own special, chosen, unique people, redeemed and renewed, and proclaim this same wonderful message to a world who's in desperate need of our Savior's love. Our theme this morning, Jesus enters into our moments of painful self-revelation and brings to us spiritual renewal. Thank the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.